Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. NASA's Curiosity rover arrived safe and sound on Mars. And I have to admit, I'm not much of a night owl, but even I stayed up to watch the live feed. It was amazing. Quite how they pulled it off is still beyond me. It was a ballet that Cirque du Soleil would have trouble performing. Computers have become just a part of everyday life. They're on our desks, they're in our phones, they're in our cars, they're in our TVs. But what works on our desk or our phone is not such a great fit in space. It's a pretty hostile environment out there, and it's damn difficult to respond to a hit any key to continue, you know, when the computer is many millions of miles away. NASA is actually very well known in the computer world for having an incredibly high rate of excellence in their software. But NASA wants to write programs that dig in the Martian ground and analyze the dirt. It does not want to be in the operating system business. For that, they rely on outside experts. In the case of Curiosity and a number of other projects, they rely on a product called VxWorks. It's an operating system that not too many people probably have ever heard of, and it's created by a company called Wind River. They are just the experts at doing this kind of stuff. So it is my great pleasure to introduce Mike Delman to the program. Hello, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Oh, if I was any better, I don't know what I'd tell you. It's threatening to rain here, but other than that, it's probably a good day and much more pleasant than life on Mars.
Without a question.
Right. Maybe we could start with a little background. Tell us something about Wind River. I know that you actually have been in existence for quite a long time.
Wind River has been around since the early 1980s, when the founders were asked to help a film industry person process their film, process special effects for a movie. And ever since then, we've had a package that allows real-time operating systems to be deployed more easily than they would have been otherwise.
Wow, since the early 80s. I've been involved in the computer industry since 1972. Back then, computers were things in a room the size of an aircraft hangar. In fact, it was an aircraft hangar that I worked in. I mean, what sort of computer did you use way back in the early 80s?
The first time I booted VxWorks, it was actually 1989, and it was on a Motorola 68020-based computer in a VME rack.
And wow.
It was a single-board computer that was able to boot VxWorks with just the boot ROMs on it versus Unix, which required a set of boards in the same VME rack and a very large disk drive that I couldn't pick up by myself.
Oh, I know the disk drives that you're talking about. So, Mike, that obviously has piqued my interest. What is your background, and what is your current position with Wind River?
My background, I studied artificial intelligence at UC Santa Cruz long ago and started working at Wind River Systems basically in the ground floor in technical support. Currently, 20-some-odd years later, I am a senior member of the technical staff. I help our customers make their products successful using our software. I solve problems for them, sometimes over the phone, sometimes live in person in their shop.
And I'll bet you see some interesting problems.
I've seen some very strange problems. It's always an interesting challenge to find out what's going on in the system.
Right. This goes back to the late 80s. I had a problem with a gizmo in the wilds of Canada in the middle of winter. And I invited some folks from California to, come and visit. And, we'd fly out to Estevan, Saskatchewan, and analyze the big problem. Boy, did they hate life.
It sounds rather unpleasant.
Oh, it was horrible. they just weren't used 40 degree below zero idea.
That could be a very warm day on Mars.
Indeed, it could. It's hard for people to wrap their head around the idea of a computer on a chip. A computer's a big box. And you've got big screens, you've got keyboards, you've got mice. But you folks have a different idea. What actually is an embedded system?
An embedded system is a computer that sits inside something that doesn't look like a computer. A good example would be a car or a router on your desk. Or even your phone has an embedded computer.
Yeah, they are everywhere. I'm pretty certain that that there's an embedded computer in your microwave.
There's no doubt an embedded computer in your microwave. Currently, the average car has somewhere around 11 embedded computers.
Yeah, it was amazing to me. I think it was about 10 years ago. I was asked to put together a presentation on the history of the modern computer, a book and a talk to go with it. And I did some digging, and I discovered that the average house back then had, I think it was 10 computers, even though people didn't realize it. And I'm sure that number has gone up dramatically in the last decade.
Absolutely. I would say that there are more computers that don't look like computers now than there are computers that do look like computers.
Right. Look, let's talk about space. I know that Wind River are no beginners in the space business. In fact, you have quite a history. By my count, which is, and I'm probably off here, Curiosity makes 5 VXWare systems, enjoying the delightful Martian environment.
There, our first launch with JPL that I worked on was back in 1995 with Mars Pathfinder. And since then, we've been on every device that's been launched to Mars by JPL. And I would say it's literally dozens of satellites and space probes that are currently running VXWorks. And right now, there are 2 orbiters running VXWorks. The Opportunity rover and MSL are running VXWorks. Other than that, Mars Pathfinder, Phoenix Lander, and Spirit Rover also ran VXWorks.
Wow. Do you get mission patches?
I have patches and badges. I have mission badges from most of the things that I've worked on.
Oh, how neat. Curiosity is, without doubt, the most capable rover that NASA has sent anywhere. It needs to do quite a bit of thinking on its own. How do you guard against the infamous blue screen of death?
The system is extremely robust. The operating system itself is able to catch exceptions, those things which result in blue screens, and hand them up to the application programmer so the application programmer can direct their operating system to handle it and recover. And in a case where, say, a hard radiation hit might cause the computer to actually freeze, there's a whole second computer there to take over.
Right, but, unlikely, though it may be, computers do crash. And are there sort of safe modes, if you will, that, the operating system can crawl back into life in a limited capacity to allow some remote debugging?
In fact, yes, there are. Similar to what happened on Spirit in the early days on Mars, if the system is unable to bring itself up to a full operating capacity, it'll bring up a much more limited set of code that will allow us to do very basic communication with the system to hopefully recover data logs to find out what happened just before the anomaly.
It sounds hugely complex, and indeed it is hugely complex, but as I understand it, VXWorks is a pretty small piece of software in actual lines of code or amount of RAM that's needed.
It can be tailored to fit in less than a megabyte of EEPROM space, and even a full-fledged kernel, for instance, the software that ran on the Mars Exploration rovers, was able to run in less than 32 megabytes of RAM.
That blows my mind. Right now, I'm looking at my brand new Dell laptop, and it's running Windows 7. I think I have something like 6 gig of RAM on it. Yeah, and I still get messages about high memory usage.
Compare with Mars Science Lab that has 256 megabytes of RAM and only 2 gigabytes of flash storage.
Wow. I 2 gigabytes is nothing. How on earth do you do it?
We provide the minimum amount of code. It's extremely well optimized, so there isn't a lot of excessive stuff going on in the operating system. By making the operating system small and robust, it allows the application programmers to utilize the system to its best advantage.
Right, and presumably you protect yourself from the application programmers.
We are able to provide that as options, so the programmers can include the extra code that provides that protection, especially while implementing and debugging programs. And then if their system doesn't have enough space to do that when it's deployed, they can remove that feature and save that extra space.
Hmm. Now, curiosity, I was reading that NASA has something like 100 programmers beavering away, you know, creating code to dig in the dirt and, you know, zap rocks and things like that. And that clearly is an ongoing effort, an effort that happens every day. Are Wind River involved in the day-to-day business of Curiosity?
I'm basically waiting for a phone call. If something goes wrong, they are free to call us and ask for help, and we'll get right on it as quickly as possible. In fact, that's what I do for a living. I am contracted to several customers who call as needed to get help. Our day-to-day business is making VxWorks itself and Wind River Linux more robust and more serviceable for our customers.
Right. So, you know, that there isn't a Wind River person sat in JPL. Your code is good and robust, and you just wait for JPL to call you.
Pretty much correct. In the early phases of a lot of these implementations, various space systems, we'll work hand in hand with them, making sure the code runs properly on the hardware. And once it's solid enough for them to begin implementing, they'll call us only as needed.
That sounds great. I mean, boy, I spent 30 plus years in the computer industry. I'd love to have found some code where that was true. You must be doing something right.
We've been evolving and maintaining VxWorks for over 30 years now, so it's quite well matured.
But, you know, that can be taken two ways. You know, mature can also be taken as old, but as I understand it, VxWorks is anything but old. I mean, it's a product that has evolved and continues to evolve. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely correct. As an example, right now it's hard to go out and buy a computer off the shelf that has only one core. Your average Windows machine has two or four cores with hyper-threading that make it look like eight cores, for instance. We've evolved VxWorks so it can run on those cores, either as separate computers or cooperatively in a symmetric multiprocessing.
Okay, now, from time to time, obviously you come up with upgrades, patches, call them what you want, to VxWare. In the case of Curiosity or Opportunity and Spirit, how do you get the upgrades? I laughingly will call it the Microsoft Patch Tuesday. How do you get those upgrades onto a computer that's 300 million miles away without wrecking stuff?
There is a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. What JPL would do is craft their patch to make it as small as possible and then send it up via the Deep Space Network. And once it gets to the rover will validate that the patch arrived intact. And there are a couple of different copies of the operating system. There's a copy that's just designed for handling these patches. There's a copy that's called the golden copy, that if something fails, the golden copy will come up and allow us to work on the system, perhaps apply another patch. And there's the current running system. So the patch system will apply the patch to the running system, the system that will be running, and then reset the computer and come back up running the newly patched software.
And these are all held in EEPROM rather than Flash, or am I wrong?
There are a couple of banks of EEPROM that can be switched. So, yes, they're all held in EEPROM. They could also be held in Flash if needed.
Now, in the case of Curiosity, that there are actually two computers on board. Would those be held in sync, or would one kind of hold the older reliable code, while the other handles the new code?
In the case of applying a patch, the secondary computer would be running the known stable code while the primary computer patches. And once the primary computer is stable, the secondary computer would be patched. So, yes, in the case of a problem of applying a patch, it could fail over to the running computer and allow it to carry on operations while the primary computer is fixed.
I was doing some research. I got it from one of you Wind River people. The actual hardware that is involved here. The specs seem pretty lowly. You've got a 200 megahertz processor, which is basically a chip that's a lot slower than what you'd find in a smartphone. Yet you've managed to do so much with it. Is it a real challenge to make a so much out of so little?
It's always a challenge to get as much processing out of the computer as the scientists require. In the case of Mars Science Lab, the PowerPC chip on the computer is similar to what you might have found in an iMac back in 1998. It runs at about 400 MIPS of processing power compared to your current MacBook that might run at 15,000 MIPS.
Actually, you bring up an interesting comment. PowerPC. I've heard the CPU likened to a G3 chip. Is that a valid comment?
That is a fairly valid comment. It would be almost the same as the PowerPC 750 in the iMac from 1998.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask a truly stupid question, and it's a question I already know the answer to. Why don't you just put up an Intel, gazillion core chip? Why wouldn't that work?
There's so much radiation in space. The radiation in space is 1,000 times stronger than your average desktop could possibly run in. It would be akin to sticking your computer into a microwave oven and expecting it to perform.
Oh, I'm going to try that as soon as we get off the phone.
I would like to watch. Please video me.
My wife would kill me. What have you done to my microwave? Okay.
It takes an incredibly long time to take a currently operating chip and put it through the processes that make it able to run in space. That's why it seems like we're using old computers in space.
But, you know, when I looked at the specs, I went, oh, but you can do a lot with 200 megahertz. Sure, you can't run Windows, but you probably don't want to be running Windows. You want to be performing more important work. What? I touched on the subject that NASA has over 100 programmers crafting away, designing programs for Curiosity to use. What language, programming language, do they use for that kind of task?
It's mostly the C programming language with a little bit of C++. They'll write these programs on Unix or Linux systems or even Windows systems and compile them for the computer on Mars Science Lab. They'll also run it in simulators that run on the native compiling machine. And they even run it on mock-up rovers that have similar equipment here on Earth and in the laboratories so they can make sure it's robust and does the right things.
Wow. It just sounds also Star Trek.
It allows me to feel like I'm living vicariously through the rover, and that's about the closest I'll ever get to being Captain Kirk.
Right. I know that this is way outside the scope of what Wind River and VXWare is all about. Do you have any clue what the actual data throughput rate is, you know, from Mars to Earth and vice versa? You know, if you want to retrieve data or...
I have actually seen the numbers. I can't recall off the top of my head. I do know that their best return rate is when they use Mars Odyssey as what they call a bent pipe, or when they use the high-gain antennas on the rover. But if needed, if there's problems with transmission, they can switch down to a lower-gain antenna that, just by changing the data rate down slower, they have less chance of error, so there's a better chance that the data will come back intact. And on our side, on the Earth side, we're using antennas the size of football stadiums to capture that data and bring it back to the lab.
So I would it be fair to say that it's probably not quite as fast as your DSL hookup at home?
It's very safe to say it is not as fast as your DSL hookup at home.
Okay. Would it be fair to say it's more like dial-up?
It would be like a very fast dial-up or an old-style DSL from perhaps 5 years ago or so.
Wow. I'm surprised at that. I had this idea in my mind for, you know, no particularly good reason, but it's probably like a 9600 baud dial up modem, but you are leading me to believe that it might be a tad faster.
It's a tad faster. When we have to switch down to the low-gain antennas, it would probably be as slow as that 9600 baud modem, or even a little slower. But using the bent pipe paradigm or the high-gain antenna, we can get a bit more data down than that.
Now, I just happen to know that Mars is not the only place running VXWare. It tends to crop up in the most strangest of places. In fact, at the beginning of the interview, you know, we're talking about embedded systems, you pointed out that essentially it was a computer that didn't look like a computer. Where else can you find VXWare?
Let me start off with the far away places. The Messenger satellite around Mercury is running VXWorks. There's a satellite orbiting an asteroid called Ceres. The satellite's name is Dawn. It's running VXWorks. As you get closer to home, the cable modem that connects to your computer and brings pictures into your television is probably running VXWorks. There are copies of VXWorks running in many different automobiles, running anti-lock brakes, running the adaptive transmission controls, and even running the infotainment system that brings the map up from your GPS unit.
But, I hate to say this, no one's ever heard of VXWorks.
That's very true. Sometimes I have a hard time explaining, who do I work for? What do we do? And it's because we're in all these computers that you use every day, but you've never heard of it.
Right. And that it's probably because it's pretty darn reliable. It doesn't crash.
And it's being used by other companies to create their fantastic products that you use every day. I would guess that there's about 1 billion devices running VXWorks on the surface of Earth.
Wow. I'm pretty certain that I have three versions of VxWorks sitting on my desks. I've got a Linksys router, and my research tells me that VxWorks is at the heart of that.
That's true. Your router, and if you've got a DSL or a cable modem, it's probably running there. If you get television through cable or satellite, you've probably got a little box on top of your TV that's running VxWorks.
Good Lord, that means I have more copies of VxWorks than Windows. And you know what? I can't remember ever needing to upgrade them or press any key to continue.
It is a fairly robust system. That's why it's used in these things that we expect to work on time every day.
Are you involved at all in industrial automation as well?
We're involved in industrial automation. We're involved in medical devices. We're even involved in airplanes and in the wide area augmentation system used with GPS to help those airplanes land.
Well, now I'm really impressed. Is it available at your local Walmart?
You probably wouldn't recognize it, but it probably is. It's even available in MP3 players. So it truly is a scalable system that can be deployed to just about anything that doesn't look like a computer but contains one.
Actually, that was what really caught my attention when I started researching Wind River. It is scalable. You know, it's one thing having a tiny chip that operates an MP3 player. It's an entirely different thing operating a Martian rover that's the size of a small SUV. I mean, scalable, yes, it is. But do you scale it for the application at hand, or is it pretty much, you know, here it is? It's it is what it is.
It is very scalable. There are networking protocols. There are graphic packages. There are all kinds of add-ons that can be added into it. There are versions of VxWorks that are designed for flight systems and commercial airplanes. For instance, the 787 runs a flavor of VxWorks that controls over 50 separate functions on the airplane.
I am blown away. That's all I can say. You know, I had some communication with you back a few years ago about Opportunity and Spirit, and I really had no idea just how big VxWorks are, and yet. Your company is actually quite small. You've got, what, 2,000 employees?
Somewhere around 2,000 employees scattered around 20 or 30-some-odd countries. Most of the employees are in the United States and Europe. There's also some fairly large offices in Japan and Asia.
Yeah, as I said, I'm just amazed. You know, it's a company that is low-key, shall we say, and yet you do so much. How large is the team of coders, the people that you keep behind locked doors and just throw raw meat to every few days?
I would say that we have somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 engineers working on VxWorks and Wind River Linux, as well as the graphics packages and protocols that run with those.
You mentioned the term Linux. So you have a Unix flavor and you have a Linux flavor?
So VxWorks is a deeply embeddable system that offers extremely precise real-time control, whereas Linux is more popular in satisfying requirements like POSIX. There is a POSIX layer that runs on VxWorks, but it's not as complete as the full POSIX standard that you would get with Linux.
Mike, I'm looking at the clock here, and my editor is screaming in my ear. I have to call a close to this interview, but I really, really want to thank you for taking time out to talk to me today.
It's been my pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be talking. And before you leave, I know that, you know, VxWorks it isn't something that people want to rush out and you know, buy a copy of to replace their operating system on their desktop computer, but that there must be a website where people can go and learn a little more about the company.
Absolutely. It's www.windriver.com.
Mike, I really want to thank you for taking time out to talk to us. It has been delightful, and we will talk again in the future. Maybe the next rover.
I would be absolutely pleased. Thank you very much.
Okay. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe day. And we will be back again soon. Till next time, goodbye.